from theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Move that body, we like to party. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Tovan Sugiarto, better known as Revolver. From a desk job in the corporate world to the top of the Beatport Electric charts, Revolver has had quite a career in just the past couple of years. He'll be hitting the club and festival circuit this summer, including stops at the Last Supper Club, Avalon in LA, and Camp Bisco 11. He's also turning out a ton of original tracks and remixes, a couple of which we have premiered right here at theunts.com. We're very excited to have him on the show, so stay tuned. Congratulations to our winners in the Unts Challenge 3. Spectre is headed to summer camp. Wakarusa, Sonic Bloom, and Electric Forest Festival. Staff pick Dino Hunter will be joining the summer camp. Wakarusa and Sonic Bloom bills as well. Amateur producers, keep working on your craft. The next time around, I could be reading your names. Let's get to the interview. As we record this, you just dropped this hour-long mix, Pulse, with visuals by Pagoda. I mean, this is an intensely complicated visual production. That must have taken you hours to nail that down.
Yeah, it took us quite a bit, a lot longer than I had originally expected. I approached Megan Pagoda about the idea, honestly, almost a month ago when I put out my last mix, and she spent a lot of time, you know, studying the mix and getting an idea of what she wanted to do. And it became this massive project to create this journey for an hour that really connected the audio and visuals together as one to give you, like, you know, a very unique experience as a user. So it brings you beyond, you know, just listening to, you know, just a mix on a podcast or on your, you know, your iPad, or, I mean, I'm sorry, your iPod.
Either one these days, huh?
Yeah, right. Any one these days. But yeah, it goes beyond that because it, you know, adds a visual stimulation to the entire thing. So when Megan had done it, it's not, you know, it's not just like geometric shapes and, you know, things that have nothing to do with the audio. She really wanted to connect the two. So she spent a lot of time, a lot of the hours being spent was the preparation for it. And she did the whole thing live. It wasn't like we just sat there and was like, oh yeah, let's edit this part in so it's timed right. She prepared herself for the entire hour, and then she just executed that hour. So the whole thing took an hour, but the preparation for it took, you know, 40 or 50 hours, even more than that. I'm not even sure. I mean, we stayed up all night till like 8 in the morning some nights for like the last couple weeks, you know, trying to figure it out.
I had no idea about that aspect. It's actually live. And you know, with dance music in the live setting becoming more and more about incorporating elaborate stage and light shows, did you feel like it was necessary for you to develop some kind of visual signature for the Revolver brand? And do you think that, you know, you've really captured that with what Megan was able to do?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's always been something that's in the back of my mind, or something that I've always wanted to do. You know, as the you know, the name progresses and as I do bigger shows, I definitely expect, you know, the production to come along with that as well, because I believe in an experience, in providing an experience to people. Just like, you know, for instance, Deadmau5 with his cube, you know, that's he did it right. And I've always believed in something like that, not just to, like, you know, play really good music, but to provide an entire experience along with that. So this was the initial spark to, you know, to do something about that. You know, Megan has been a close friend of mine for a while, and I've known that she's been into this for a while. But so you know, I finally thought, well, you know, let's make this happen. So, you know, we did, and now we're already talking about, you know, doing shows together and getting into, you know, 3D projection mapping and really taking it to the next level.
Beats Inside My Head from Donald Glaude and Revolver right here on the UNS podcast. Let's jump back in time. First of all, I guess I should have asked this earlier. What's your ethnic background?
Well, I'm half Indonesian and half Polish.
Okay, so that is, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum, I have to imagine, you know, culturally and musically and all of that.
Yeah, totally.
What were you listening to at home as a kid?
I was listening to a lot of things. It's almost hard to remember, like, you know, all of the types of music that I listened to, because I just, as a kid, I just wanted to hear everything. It wasn't just, you know, hip hop or whatever was popular. I was the kid that was flipping through all these music video channels back in the day, and, you know, really absorbing all the different styles of music. But, you know, when electronic music first hit the scene, even when it wasn't even popular in America, like Prodigy, you know, Chemical Brothers, you know, guys like that, Orbital, I was really intrigued by that kind of music, and it had always followed me. And even through, you know, middle school and high school, I was the outcast. Everyone's like, what are you listening to? This is weird. And I'm like, I don't know. I connect with it. It's awesome. And I didn't let anyone, you know, change my mind about that. But at the same time, I did listen to, you know, hip hop and, you know, and rock and all that stuff too. But I was just the one that was really connected with the electronic side as well.
And you grew up in the Bay Area?
I did, yeah.
And so I imagine you have a lot of your local hip hop, the very regional hip hop that's there, the Yay Area,
yeah.
Keek to Sneak, and all sorts of, you know, you've got a Chewy Gomez on local Bay Area TV, and you know, you've got this very specific scene, and you're you're listening to Firestarter in your headphones and kids are looking at you, you weird.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Was it production then that first pulled you into that world of electronic dance music and electronic music in general? Or did you have a concept of DJing?
You know, I'm asked this question a lot. You know, like, did you get into production or DJing first? And it's kind of like a weird multi-angled journey, because when I was a kid, you know, when I was like 12, you know, 13 years old, we had a computer and there was sound editing software on this computer at home. And I would just take songs and literally chop them up into parts and Frankenstein them into like something that I wanted them to sound like.
This is some sort of really primitive program, yeah. Like a PC program?
It was Sony SoundForge. That's what it was.
Okay.
And it was just a basic editing, like an audio editing program. And I did that. And in school, there were, you know, performances, like, you know, talent shows and stuff. And all my friends knew what I was doing. So they're like, hey, can you edit this stuff for our show? And I'm like, yeah, for sure, because it's easy. You just cut it all up and whatever. You'd like use all the parts you want. So I got into that, and I was like really intrigued by that. But then I met a couple guys that were DJs, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? This is really, really cool. So I got into that, and as soon as I saw what they were doing, I bought my first set of turntables, and I would, you know, I did that whole deal with like getting into it and spinning like late nights, constantly trying to get down mixing. I totally got it. And after a year or so, I actually got bored. I was like, okay, I'm mixing from one song to another. That's pretty cool. I mean, there's definitely skills into it, but it really connected with me. So after that, this is all, you know, all through high school. In college, they actually started a program for computer music. And I took those classes, and that's when I like got into production, because it was these classes that taught you basic skills on, you know, production platforms like Logic and Cubase. And I took those. I got addicted to all of those classes. I breezed through them. My teacher was like, okay, can you help me tutor my students, because you obviously get it? And I'm like, I don't know. I get it. Yeah, okay, sure. So I actually ended up helping him. Tutoring all the students for extra credits and like free lab hours, because I was there. I lived at the college. Like, I just, all I did was like mess with music and stuff like that.
Where was this?
This was at DVC, like the community college in the Bay Area.
Okay.
While I was getting my credits to go to San Diego State, down to San Diego, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into that, and then I moved to San Diego to go to San Diego State, and I had to leave that. And I didn't have all that equipment that I was spoiled with. So I took a step back into DJing when I moved to SoCal. So it's kind of a tricky path, because, you know, like, I got into editing, I got into production, I got into DJing, got into production again, and then, like, you know, back into DJing, because I didn't have the equipment, all the studio equipment that, you know, that all these people had back then. I mean, this is like several years ago. Nowadays, obviously, you can just have one program and create a full track, but that's not the case, you know, a few years ago.
Well, I got to imagine, you know, bouncing back and forth between, you know, creating mixes by editing and then creating mixes by DJing, moving back and forth between those two worlds. I mean, that's made you who you are.
Yeah, totally.
Tell me about the corporate job. Tell me about your day job that, you know, becomes such a central turning point in your story. Tell me the day-to-day on that.
Well, yeah, so I mean, I was on along the path in the story just now. I went to San Diego State. I did that for a little bit, and then I actually dropped out of state, like, almost. I had like a year left, and the reason why I did that is because, call it like, school to me was never really a challenge. It was weird. Like, if I needed to pass a class, I just like studied like the last week, and it just like, I absorbed all that information. I can just absorb all that. So it was never really like too much of a challenge for me. And I ran into a friend who had like a roommate or someone that they mutually knew that was starting a company. So that really intrigued me, because I like challenges and I really wanted to like experience that. So I joined this startup. And I pretty much like helped the CEO build it with a friend of mine for like 5 years. You know, like along that path, I've always had, you know, music like on the side, you know, part of like my everyday life, but it wasn't just, it just wasn't like all there. It was like, it was my priorities were to like do this job and make money.
Yeah. What was the nature of the work?
The thing is that I grew up in a family that wasn't very, you know, well off. You know, we struggled, and I was the only child. And so I had this seed planted in me to really be a successful person. So I wanted to like go to college. I wanted to show my parents that, like, you know, I was the first generation. My mom's from Poland and my dad's from Indonesia, and they sacrificed a lot to get for us to start, for them to start a family in the U.S. And they, like, you know, they moved to New York. That's where I was born. And then, like, they moved to Cali, and that's where I grew up. And, you know, it was always a struggle. So me personally, like, growing up, like, it wasn't easy. So I always had this motive to, like, do really, really well. And I had this idea that the corporate way was the way to go to college and, like, you know, follow that path. Mm-hmm. But along the way, I always had a love for music. So, you know, I did all of that, you know, and I helped start this company and spent 5 years doing it. We sold the company for, like, I don't even remember, for millions. It was like 8 or 9 million. And the CEO completely screwed us. Like, he took the money and bounced. It's a really complicated story, but I'm just summarizing it for you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pretty much he, like, it was like an entire, like, a huge scandal, and he like screwed everyone. It just like bounced and the company sank, and I went off and tried to do my own thing, and, you know, took one of the guys and started, like, you know, my own operation, and did that for a while. And I found that it didn't make me happy. You know, I admit I did make a good amount of money, and that's what my goal was, to keep on, you know, making more and more money. But, you know, after being screwed, life screwing you after all of that time, and, you know, my second venture wasn't the best venture either. Like, my partner ended up not being, you know, as competent as I had hoped, and actually, like, took money from me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to escape, so I went to a festival called Burning Man.
Sure.
And that entire experience, like, really forced me to connect with myself, because you're out there and you're in the middle of nowhere, and the only thing you can think about is yourself. It's like, it's totally self-reflecting. And it just hit me, like, I was watching the sun come up, and something just overcame me, and it was like, what are you doing? Like, music has always been a part of you. You, like, need to do this, like, 100%. So, you know, I went back home, and I told my partner, I'm like, I'm just gonna chase what I love, and at least give this a shot, like, 100%. Because ever since I, you know, it was in high school, college, it was always a hobby. It was like something that I always loved. And I always got from my friends too. Like, they're like, you know, you're so talented. You know, you always, like, put these beats together, and, you know how it works, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I like having fun with it or whatever. But I never was like 100% like, I want to do this for a living. You know, I'm going to do this, like, with full 100% like focus and all that. And I never did that. So I wanted to give it a shot. So I just walked away from everything. I just told my partner, I'm like, you can have it all. I'm done. I didn't move out of San Diego yet. I told my partner I was done. And what I did was that I seriously, like, camped at home, built my studio, like, full out, and just camped in there for like a few months and dialed in, like, a new sound, came up with a new name, and then, you know, put out a couple pieces, like, of originals. And one remix was Beats Inside My Head, and that song completely, like, took off. Like, it got picked up by Tiesto, and he started playing on his tour. Everyone's like, what is this Revolver guy? Like, who the hell, and where the hell did he come from? And that was the sign for me that, like, I actually had made the right decision, and I took that leap, that I'm glad that I took that leap of faith. And so now I'm here, and I'm, like, you know, doing my thing.
Bartending.
Revolver and Suit Show with Make Me Want More, that recently premiered on the Unz.com's Fresh Beats. How do you go from a just wildfire sensation, a track that really resonates with people, climbs up the charts? I mean, obviously you put in the time, you were holed up for months, but nobody knows that. You come out of nowhere. How do you then convince, you know, all these people, Suit Show and other artists you work with, to say, hey, I'm a bona fide artist. Let's make something happen. How do you, is it just one by one, all these things hit, you know, Tiesto plays your song, suddenly people are banging down your door to make music with you, or do you still feel like you have something to prove?
It's definitely a cascading effect. I always feel like, well, first of all, I always feel like I have something to prove. But to myself, because it's never perfect to me. I'm such a perfectionist, and I always want to improve my sound. But yeah, it's definitely a cascading effect. You know, it goes from one to another. You know, I put out releases as Tovin a while ago, but I've, like I said, they were just all like, they were just half serious. It was kind of just for fun, you know, for me as a hobby to put out some music and, you know, share it with people and, you know, put it out online. And then Donald Glaude, who is in San Diego, he had like seen me around, and you know, Donald Glaude and Scotty Boy, they heard my music and they just started playing them out because they just dug it. And Donald had eventually just approached me and was like, hey, you know, do you want to collab and get in the studio together? And I was like blown away. I'm like, well, I couldn't say no. So that was like right after I changed my name to Revolver. So we, you know, we put out a couple of originals together. And then, you know, it just one thing led to another. People heard that, you know, obviously Donald is a big name, and, you know, people were seeing like my name along with him, and they're like, who is this guy? And, you know, one thing leads to another, and people are checking you out, people are watching you, you get on everyone's radar, and then you start getting calls and emails and people reaching out to you.
Sure. Yeah. In today's dance music scene, you can have things both ways. You can have an edge, which you certainly do, but you can really invite in aspects of the pop music model, and your sound certainly has that accessible quality. Do you ever feel the pull towards a more underground aesthetic, or are you comfortable where you are? You're making the kind of music that you want to hear.
Well, I do want to, I definitely do want to get into the underground. It's funny that you say that, because I always get either, you know, my stuff is way too hard and way too underground, or it's a little like, it's not underground enough or not hard enough. So I'm like, really? Like, I think I'm in that in between.
Yeah.
And I don't do it on purpose. I think the way that I see music is that I don't want, it's not commercial, right? It's not underground. The word that I use is it's consumable.
Okay.
It can connect with someone that's like really into mainstream music, but it's not mainstream music. You know, it can connect with someone that's into the underground scene, but it's not completely underground.
Right. I think that's accurate.
But I do have plans to like dip into those sounds. You know, I'm going to eventually put out an EP, and I'll definitely, you'll hear a lot of variation with, you know, moving into different aspects of underground sound and more of like, you know, the uplifting like poppy side too. I'm never gonna go full pop, like that's just not my style, but you know, I respect it because it connects with people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how far along are you in that process of this new EP? Is it still in the planning phases?
Well, I have plans for two EPs.
Okay.
I've just finished an EP with Leah Luna. I'm not sure if you know who she is.
No, I'm not familiar.
Leah Luna is a vocalist. She's based in LA. She's very, very talented. And I've known her for a little bit, and we've always had plans to collaborate together. And so we decided to put together a three-track EP just to put, like, you know, a few tracks together and just package it and, you know, release it. So that's the first EP that I have. And then my second EP that I have planned is going to be a lot bigger. It's probably going to be like a, you know, 6-7 track EP, maybe like a 10 track EP, who knows. And that will represent me as like a solo artist. I will have, you know, collaborations with vocalists and maybe other producers, but it's going to be a complete vision of, you know, the sound that I believe in. It's going to contain electro, it's going to contain dubstep, even maybe a couple, or maybe a drum and bass track, everything that I feel that I connect with in music. And, you know, that ties with my name, Revolver, is that my love for music revolves around so many different styles, and I don't pigeonhole myself into one exact sound. So that will be the expression of my next EP.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, Tovan Sugiarto, Revolver, thanks so much for being on the Yuns podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to Jason Barrios, Chad Cohen, and of course my guest, Tovan Sugiarto. Catch Revolver in your area. You can stay up with his touring plans at theunts.com/revolver. We've got some special deals for you over in our contest section. Visit theunts.com/contest to sign up to win tickets to the first and second leg of Avicii's Levels Tour. One winner will be chosen for each city along the way. There are so many ways to win, and all you have to do is sign up for free. We've also got festival passes for Wakarusa, Impulse, Identity, Summer Camp, Sonic Bloom Loaded, Mint Green, and the list goes on and on. Do yourself a favor and win some free tickets. Please visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unts podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunts.com. Join the conversation at the Unts podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.